Is anybody here feeling the COVID pinch right now? Anybody here just, well, let me put it mildly, sick of it? Some of you was wishing for a vacation. Some of you wouldn't take a vacation. Some of y'all hadn't had a vacation in a long time and you wasn't thinking about one. And God gave you a vacation. About 4 months worth of vacation. There is such a thing as having too much fun. But anyway, this has presented a whole different set of challenges for us. And so we can find ourselves kind of immersed in the moment, not exactly sure how we're supposed to feel. So from that situation, it kind of prompted the thoughts that I want to offer to you this morning. And they actually ran away with me a little bit while I was writing them, so I'm going to probably cut out a lot of what I had to say and save it for another time. But I want to talk to you this morning about an abundant life in a time of a pandemic. How you can feel fulfilled and satisfied, because one of the things that gets in the way with this pandemic is you can't come, you can't go as you please, and it's about to get back to that place where we may even have tight restrictions again, because this thing is going up again, because people started to do things that everybody had better sense than to do, but they did it anyway, and now the numbers are getting high again. Well, we're going to keep an eye on that, and these very dutiful and diligent brothers here will discuss each time we have a service what the perspective is for the next service. And brothers, if it's possible, I guess we do need to have a conference call, about 30-minute conference call tomorrow again. Is that agreeable with all my brothers here today? Everybody good? Because we want to make sure that we're on top of this situation. We want to make sure we take care of all of the members as best we can. I got a wonderful call from Sister Graves, and she will call me occasionally, missing you all some terrible, and said she just hear about the good things that we've been doing over here when we have met, and she was just about this close to coming today. And I said to her, I said, you know what, I understand how you feel, and there's nothing that would please me more than to see you there. But if there's any reservations, any second thoughts, I'd rather see you later than to have you come down with something. And I want to tell each and every one of you, as I've said on many occasions, there is not one of you that I can do without. And so I just want you all to be safe, and we want to do all that we can to make sure that we've done everything we can to make things safe. After we finish today and dismiss, a bunch of us are going to wipe down the building so that when we come back in, you'll be coming into a sterile building. So we're sparing no efforts in trying to make sure that everything is good. But enjoying life or having an abundant life in a time of pandemic sounds like more of a chore than some of us can accomplish. But I want to start out by giving you the words of Jesus Christ as they were recorded in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, which was read beautifully into your hearing by Brother Pope. Once again, let me thank the brothers for their service, Brother Wallace and Brother McLemore for leading us in our song service, Brother Pope for reading our scripture and wording our prayer, and then later Brother Carruthers will come and conduct the services over the communion and the collection, and then we have Brother Cotton and Brother Campbell who made sure that everything was good as you came through the door. Everybody working like a well-oiled machine, doing work that's necessary, making this thing work, and because of their efforts and sacrifice, it's working. So thank you, brothers, for your service. Jesus' words recorded in John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says this, and it's all comforting, and I want you to seek out the depth of the meanings of these words as we read them again or reread them again. In verse 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Isn't that comforting? And shall go in and out and find pasture. There's all kinds of comfort in that Jesus is telling us that he is the provider. And then it goes on to say in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal. This is just the antithesis of who he is, but he's warning us about how to recognize that person that does not have our interest at heart. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Christ's purpose, his desire, his intent is for us to have an abundant life. Do we know what an abundant life is? I'm sure we do. That's a very elementary word, but it is Christ's intention for us to live life to the fullest. And so I want to take you back to where we were just a moment ago, just so we can bring you forward again. I want to ask you a few questions. Are you being dragged down by the negativities that's going on right now? I wish it was just the COVID virus. I wish it was just the stuff that's natural. But there's so much negativeness in the world that is a manifestation of man's inhumanity toward man. Is that dragging you down? How's your attitude? Right now, are you feeling optimistic or pessimistic? So easy to feel pessimistic because we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel all the time. You may be going through some personal things, and many people are, and we may not know exactly how we're going to come out of it. And as a result of it, you may be a little antsy about how it's going to turn out. You may be pessimistic, but you've got reason to be optimistic. Do you know someone who's having a hard time? You know, other people's hard time kind of tend to affect us. When we see somebody having a hard time, we think, well, it's happening to them, it'll happen to us. Well, let me ask you this. Are you having a hard time? Because if you're having a hard time, then you've got brothers and sisters that care. You don't have to have a hard time by yourself. Sometimes you can't help but have a hard time, but it does make it easier when you know you're not alone. And so if you're having a hard time, then we're here together. We are a family. I thank God for the love that I have watched take place here for nearly 22 years, and it's been unwavering. So if you're having a hard time, tell somebody who loves you. Final question, are you doubtful and fearful about what tomorrow is going to bring? Well, you see, I have a Father, a God, who knows the end from the beginning. He already put a period behind tomorrow. He knows how tomorrow will turn out, and he knows how to change anything that needs to be changed, and we are his children. Suppose that I could offer to you, suppose I could do better than that, suppose I could guarantee to give you a life full of joy and blessedness and assurance and peace that passeth all understanding. Would you be interested? Would you want me to do that? Well, I need to confess, I can't. But Jesus can. And not only can he, but he does. He came to provide a way to abundant life, according to John 10:10. And he's gracious enough to share with us the secrets to this life through his teachings. You see, in John chapter 15, verse 11, if you want to join me there, John 15's got a lot of assurances there that we can focus on, and we're not going to try to exhaust all those today. But over in John chapter 15 and verse 11, the Bible says this, "These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might be filled." That my joy might remain in you. Let me correct myself on that. Y'all have to forgive me. There's a room going around. I'm getting old. Ignore it. "These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." For most of us, we understand what happiness is. But joy is so misunderstood that people think that joy and happiness are the same thing. See, happiness comes and goes. People can come and do something for you, and you're happy about it, and in the next moment, it can be gone. But joy settles down in your spirit. It resides in your bones forever. And it doesn't matter what happens as a, in terms of circumstances. Joy remains with you. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. So, see, through Jesus' teachings, we can learn the secrets of the abundant life. Many of those I mentioned are found in John chapter 15, where Jesus describes himself as the vine and his disciples as the branches. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, Jesus says this, and I need to read this to you because, once again, there's a lot of depth in what is said here. There's a lot of figurativeness in this, but there's also a lot of literal meaning that we can gain comfort from. John chapter 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And you see what that does is that tells me that I'm a part of something that's much bigger than myself. When I start to think about myself, I'm a limited addition, y'all. I can only go so far. There's only so much that I can do. But when I think about the fact that I'm a part of something much bigger, and that's because I'm in Christ, then I realize that there are no limits. I realize that whatever is out there is at my disposal because God created it all. And if I'm in Christ, then I can be the final conduit between what he planned and what the results are. So as branches, we are supposed to bear fruit. That's a thought there I want you to kind of put on the sticky side of your mind. We are supposed to bear fruit. We are not. Y'all know what a milk ball is? Has anybody ever found a use for a milk ball? They're worthless things that come on a tree that benefit nobody. We're not supposed to be like that. You can see them. They sit up there and they look big, and I ain't gonna say they look good because ain't nothing about them that's appealing. Some people call them horse apples, but I've never seen a horse eat one. But they are fruits from a tree that have absolutely no redeeming qualities. Now, I could be describing some Christians because they show up and they say amen, and they come and go out the church, but they have nothing about them that offers a benefit. Now, I ain't talking about nobody sitting here because y'all are fruit. But our job is to bear fruit. Now, you say, Brother Grimes, we're going to get a little bit more information on that because there's so many ways you can bear fruit. And the fact of it is, you are right. Thank God it's more than one way for us to bear fruit. See, the secret to fulfilling, to having a fulfilling life is bearing fruit. If you want to feel fulfilled, if you want to feel like your life is purposeful, if you want to feel like you and be rewarded, then you need to bear the fruit that we're supposed to. We often measure our relationships with others by the things that they do for us, do we not? If you love me, you know, on Valentine, I ought to get a card and candy. And on my birthday, I ought to get a bunch of big, happy birthday, by the way, Barbara. She's having one the next couple of days, and she's going to have a wonderful birthday. And it's going to be, no one has ever seen anything like it before, y'all. I borrowed that from y'all's illustrious leader. People measure their relationship with others by the things that people do for them. Suppose that was the way that God perceives our relationship with him. For those that know the satisfaction that comes from doing the work of the Lord, they also know that the Lord reserves them if they put service to him in high priority. If we put him first, he puts us first. I love the old secular saying, you can't outdo God, you can't beat God giving. Folks, that's the truth. That is a fact. The more you do, the more he enables you to do. But there are different kinds of fruits that we can bear. One of them, and I want to talk to you about a few of them as we hasten toward through our lesson. One of them is winning souls to Christ and helping others to grow. There is no lack of raw material for us to work with, y'all. There's a lot of people out there that walk around and they look like they're all right, but they're a long way from all right. They'll tell you about their experiences in church, but they've been in the church, but the church has never been in them. There's a lot of people who if you ask them about a simple story in the Bible, will be just as lost as last year's Easter eggs. And so we can win these souls over, but then we can also help them grow. That's bearing fruit, y'all. Those are the people that Christ wants us to go after. Romans chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, or otherwise I was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." That was Paul speaking in the Romans letter. And he was saying that his desire was to go to this other place, to come to these people that he was writing to and have some fruit, because he was having fruit in other places. In other words, he was trying to win some souls to Christ, bearing fruit and causing people to grow. Then there's another way we can bear fruit. We can share with those in need. You know, I'm so thankful that this is the kind of church that it is, because, you know, we have often gone way above and beyond what was necessary in order to ease someone's suffering. It's in your nature. You'd rather give amiss than to miss a give. Don't change. Because we can get back anything that we lose except an opportunity. If we have an opportunity to help somebody, it may not bear fruit right now, but we can count on the fact that God will bless that, and he'll bless them through our efforts. Romans chapter 15, verse 28 tells us, "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you unto Spain." There's another way that we can bear fruit, and that is to develop a Christ-like character. I was just thinking on the way in this morning, I don't know why the thought came to my mind. Maybe it was a residual from studying my own lesson here. But I can remember times when people were just not just guided, but they were dominated by the will to do, by trying to do God's will. I mean, everything that they did, they weighted against what God's will was. They had a character that was seeking to be Christ-like. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, there's a very familiar section of passage. And in that section it says, "But the fruit," now listen to this, there's no S on that word, so that means that this tree bears all of these particular different characteristics. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Christ-likeness means that these things come forth out of us just because we're alive. As long as we're living, these are the characteristics that dominate our lives. It's when these other things come in that we have an issue. Because envy and strife and murdering and all those other things are not fruit of the Spirit. We have another fruit, and that is praising God and giving thanks. I tell you what, God's been good to me, y'all. Now, some of y'all might have noticed I kind of limped this morning. I've got a little pain going on, but you know how I'm thanking God for that pain? Because somewhere in that, God has a blessing for me. Y'all said, "How in the world is God going to bless you through pain?" He can, and he does, and he is. And so I don't walk around moping and moaning about things. I'm praising God. Why? Because it's just a pain. I still got my legs. It's just a pain. I can still get up and walk. It's just a pain. I can get up and dress myself. I can do all the things. It's just a pain. And so I can praise God that all it is just a pain. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Isn't that something? Calls it a sacrifice of praise. Well, I guess we could. We may not consider it a deep sacrifice, but when we praise him, then we're not doing some other things. So we've made a choice. We've given to him instead of giving to ourselves. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Our lips can bear fruit. When we praise God, our lips can bear fruit. You know, when I see you being thankful, it's hard for me to not be. You remind me that I need to be thankful too. And when your lips speak God of God and how good God is, it makes me have to reevaluate and put him where he need to be, or at least closer to where he need to be, because God is good. But every now and then, we got to remind ourselves, and every now and then, we need to remind other folks, God is good, and not just some of the time. God is good all the time. Even when we're not going through the best of time, God is still good. You know, I can remember going through some very difficult times in life. Had no idea where God was going with me, but in the end, I ended up someplace so much better. And you know when it happened? When I got out of God's way. When I stopped trying to make it happen for myself and let God do what he does, I found myself in a place that I wanted to be instead of where I was, and God was being good to me all the time. I was going through the stuff I was going through. And you have to look back in retrospect to see that, because a lot of people only see the hard times that they had. I went through a hard time, and I pulled myself up by my bootstrap. You wouldn't even have boots if God didn't give them to you. These are some of the fruits that we can bear as branches. There's some benefits to these fruits. There's joy. We talked about joy. When you bear these fruits, you experience joy. There's joy for those who win souls. I don't think anybody said it any better than John, the apostle that said that he was the one that Jesus loved. Jesus loved them all, of course, but he felt a very special connection. And in 3 John verse 4, he says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, you know, after I read that and thought for a moment, it started to make sense to me. Because you see, I've got children and grandchildren, and I try to hide. No, I don't try to hide it either. I love them dearly. I love them dearly. But you know, I see other people's grandchildren, and I see them walking around thinking that they're fixed to be the next hot thing in hip hop. Are they going to make $1 million playing basketball? Are they going to enter the entertainment world? And they walk around and they dedicate their lives to that. That's not walking in truth. That's walking in an illusion. You want to know what the truth is? The truth is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the truth that our children need to walk in. Not that they're going to be the next coming of Michael Jordan. Happiness is for those who share with others. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, I've shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now I'm going to tell y'all something. I've been selfish. I have. During this pandemic, I made sure that I bought my collection down. But every now and then, I'd add a little bit more. Why? Because it made me feel good. Because it lifted my spirit. It did more. Nobody knew about it but me. But when I would leave here feeling better than it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, don't y'all go tell everybody, because everybody going to mess around doing that. And then we won't have nowhere to put all that money. Y'all recognize someone being facetious when you hear it, don't you? Well, it is more blessed to give than receive. There's another fruit, the benefit that comes from it, and that is assurance. Assurance. Assurance means that you know. You know where you are. You know how you're doing. You know what's going on around you. Assurance comes as one of the benefits of bearing this fruit. For those who develop a Christ-like character, Peter says this about the assurance that we can have in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. 2 Peter 1, verses 8 through 11. He says, for these things, now listen closely now, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that liketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, the fact that we're purged from our old sins ought to keep us celebrating all the time. Because we were on our way to hell on a jet plane, and Jesus' blood rescued us. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. There's another benefit, and that benefit is peace. For those given to thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 talks about that kind of peace. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. This is very familiar to you, but you might want to make a note, but if you don't, I know you already know this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Tell God what you want. Tell God what you need. Tell God what your situation is. Tell God who you need to have delivered. Don't hesitate. When people just don't do right, seek prayer on them. Cover them up in prayer. Pray about them when they don't even know about it, and they start wondering, what in the world's happening to me? I don't want to do this stuff no more. I want to find the Lord. And they won't even know why, but you would have covered them up in prayer. And you would, because why? Because Jesus, if we offer prayer and supplication and make our request known to God, God hears. These are some of the benefits of the abundant life that Jesus offers. And so what is the secret? Well, the secret is being a branch of the true vine. That true vine is Jesus, and bearing fruit. But Jesus also shares the secret to bearing fruit. He says in Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the secret is to bearing fruit, and we're going to hasten to a conclusion here in just a little bit. But the secret to bearing fruit is abiding. Now, remember that word, abide. We know what it means. It means to live with or stay with. But abide. If you notice, in John chapter 15, Jesus uses the word abide 10 times from verses 4 through 10. We must abide in him and he in us in order for us to bear fruit. Because without him, we can do nothing. See, the secret of bearing fruit is abiding in Christ. According to John 15 and 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same that bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And the reason that we need to abide in Christ is because that's where we get our power. Abiding in Christ empowers a Christian. Paul wrote that the power of Christ meant to him in Philippians 4 and 13. through him, he could do, through Christ, he could do anything. That's power, folks. And he wanted other people to know about this power and know that it's available to them. And so he expresses it in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, where he says, now unto him, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What's the power that worketh in us? Well, when we're in Christ, Christ is in us, and obviously that power is Christ. He gives us example about how people can be transformed. And I'll try to close it at this point, because like I said, I had a whole lot to say to y'all. Now, I won't miss saying it to you. I'll get back with the other part of this. But in 1 Corinthians, he speaks of the transformation. Now, we got examples before us right now that make us wonder if people actually have the capacity to change for the good anymore, or am I the only person to see that? There's so much evil. You just wonder, how could we even make the journey back from where we are to back to where we were? But listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, there's the first motivation right there. Unrighteous people won't go to heaven. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Were. I love the word were. Because if were weren't there, if he said, and such is, are some of you, we're in trouble. But such were some of you. But ye are washed. Isn't that good? But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So abiding in Christ empowers us to bear fruit and thereby have an abundant life. We need to obey his commandments. Jesus revealed the secret to abiding is obeying. You can't abide if you don't obey. And so we need to obey the commandments of Jesus, and we need to obey by keeping his commandments. When we do, we abide in his love, John 15 and 10. And by keeping his commandments, we will be his friend, according to John 15 and 14. And by keeping his commandments, we will abide with him, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, obedience in Christ. As I promised you, we're going to put a period right there. I'll bring you the rest on another time. But I want to leave it without a period behind it. I want to place it right there so that you will have questions as you walk out the door. I want you to not be satisfied with what you've heard this morning, but to look deeper into God's word to find out what its meaning is for you. Because that's the way we grow. That's where we become a part of of Jesus Christ. That's how we become the branches. Becoming a branch is a very noble aspiration. A lot of people haven't come to that realization yet. A lot of people are still trying to figure out how they're going to make it without Jesus. Well, can a branch make it without being attached to the vine? It cannot. All it does is it dries up and it's gathered up as kindling to use in a fire. If you're not a member or a part of the body of Christ, then you're not a branch. You don't have the promise of an abundant life. You don't have the secrets of how to get to an abundant life. So you're still scratching and digging, trying to figure out how to make life all that you want it to be. And the secrets have all been right before you all the time. Christ wants you to have an abundant life. You want to have an abundant life. What's missing is the connection. You must become a part. You must connect with and be a part of that body. So if you're not a part of the body of Christ today, then we want to give you that opportunity. Well, Christ gives you the opportunity. We want to follow through on that process so that you can become a part of the body of Christ, becoming a branch to bear fruit, to have the fullest life that you can possibly have. You do that by coming to Him, hearing His word. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the believing part. The hearing part is where we hear him through his word. We hear, we believe, we repent, according to Luke 13 and 3 and 5. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10, verses 32. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Then we need to put him on in baptism for the remission of our sin. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, according to Mark 16 and 16. By doing that, going out into the watery grave of baptism, God will work a operation on you. He will cut away the sin that you've committed throughout the whole entirety of your life, and you'll come up a brand new creature, and you'll be able to walk with him. If you remember the body of Christ, and you've not lived as you should, if you allowed sin to have a place in your life, and every now and then, you know, we don't exactly invite him in. It comes in kind of uninvited and sit down. Y'all ever had a guest like that? Somebody knock on the door you wasn't expecting? They come in, they flop down on your couch, they reach over and they open up your cashews and they start munching on your cashews and just making themselves at home, and you never said, come in. Yeah. Well, sin comes into our lives just so, as imposingly as that. And we need to evict him. Time for you to go. I know you're enjoying the visit, but you got to go. You ain't got to go home, but you got to leave here. You got to get out of my life. Evict sin. Ask God's forgiveness. And he's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And if you have other concerns, I appreciate the opportunity to pray. We all need prayer. And sometimes there are special circumstances. And so let's pray together. We can take advantage of a gift that God has given to us. And he assures us the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So if you're subject to the Savior's invitation, why don't you respond right now as we stand and sing our invitational song.